Today is a glorious day. It's a day when we celebrate that the Lamb is worthy. The one who is slain now stands upon the throne. The text for today's proclamation, the sharing of the good news, is from Revelation chapter 5, which is also illustrated in the victorious Lamb stained glass that you really probably from where you're seated can't see. So we've got it up on the slides here for you to be able to see as we go through the sermon. All right, so we've got here a slide that shows this stained glass right there, and it's got a lamb that's carrying a banner, and then the lamb is upon a book that's got seals that shut it. And in this image here, we've got a vision of what is happening in Revelation chapter 5. Throughout Revelation, St. John sees a variety of visions, and they take place in different moments of time. You may think often of the book of Revelation as a book about the end of the world. But this particular vision that he sees in chapter 5 is not from the end of the world. It is a vision from heaven of what happens as Jesus dies on the cross, is placed in the tomb, and then 40 days, and rises from the dead, and then 40 days later ascends to sit at the right hand of the Father. And as we go through this sermon, you'll see how different parts of Revelation chapter 5, from that view of heaven, look and see the events of that Good Friday, that Holy Saturday, that celebration of the resurrection, and that ascension of Jesus to the Father. Now, it's going to start today with this image of the scroll. Now, the scroll in verse 1 is described as a scroll that's written on the inside and the back, sealed with seven seals, and in the right hand of the one who sits upon the throne. And now they look, and John is asked, who's worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And as John looks around, he says, no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth is able to open the scroll or even to look into it. What is this scroll that's written inside and back? It is the revelation of the glorious plan of God for His people. And at this point, it's hidden. It's mysterious. It's veiled. It's unknown. I want you to think at this moment about Jesus Christ on the cross. What is He accomplishing there in the eyes of the world is unknown. It's still mysterious. It looks like the King of Kings has been conquered and defeated. And so, if He couldn't do it, if He couldn't rise up the people to lead in the revolution of God's day arriving, as far as John is concerned, he looks in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, and it sure looks like that moment on the cross, no one is worthy. And then as Jesus is placed into the tomb, in Matthew 26, we find that Pilate says, make the tomb secure. The soldiers take that command and they seal the tomb. I remember for a long time I heard that direction from Matthew 26, and it says that the soldiers sealed the tomb. I thought maybe they just put a big stone and that's what it meant. But in fact, they're placing the legal seal of Pilate upon that tomb. And the only one that can break that seal is one who has the lawful authority to break that seal. Anyone else that would do that would be violating the law. The tomb is sealed. And indeed, the scroll that John sees in heaven, that's written inside and back, is sealed with seven seals. There is an archaeologist in the 1970s found a parchment that was buried in the sand, and it had seven threads around it, all sealed, as representative of the seven witnesses of this transfer of deed of property. And you had to break each one of those seals to be able to open the scroll. And only the ones that were lawfully authorized to open that scroll could break those threads and open the scroll. Why is this scroll not opened yet, as far as John can tell? Because no one worthy has been able to be found. Not just anyone can open the scroll. It's sealed for a purpose, till it's delivered to the right person. And when it arrives in the hands of the right person, he can examine that seal and know that it has not been broken, which means it has not been opened and corrupted. It hasn't been disrupted in any ways. As John is looking in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, he finds no one is worthy to open this scroll. And this is a devastating moment to see our Savior dead on that cross, placed in the tomb, and it looks to all that the glorious plan of God is yet still hidden, and the only thing we can know about God at this moment is His judgment. The only thing we can know about God at this moment is His anger and wrath against sin. And I would say that that's true for what a lot of people know about God in our world today. They still only know God as someone who's to be afraid of, as violent and angry. And that's what they see, because they haven't yet seen the revelation of the glorious plan of God. They only know what can be revealed in this world through what we see with our eyes. And so John looks, and to all it looks like that is what will be the final message. If no one will be found to open the scroll, that's all anybody will ever know about God, that He is an angry God and judgmental against sin. And so John, he weeps. He says, "I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." The destiny and the future of God's people is yet still veiled. And for John, this is horrible news, because all he can see at this moment is despair. All that he can expect is just more of the same, more shame and more sorrow. His field of view is short. Ahead of him, all he sees is more of the same. More of God's heroes rising up and defeated and being placed on a cross and going into the tomb like all the other heroes that have gone before us. Maybe you've known this kind of short field of view, where you look ahead and you want to see more, but you can't see over this arc of all that is happening, to how all of history and God's plan before the very foundation of the world is bending back towards the revelation of the victory of Christ on the cross. And instead you only see in the short term that which is sealed, that which is veiled. And so you expect more of the same. This causes weeping for John. It causes more despair for everyone in this world to expect just more of the same. Where does the hope and the confidence in these times of the night arrive? For the disciples, as they went fishing in the night, no matter what side they cast that net on, they did not find any change in their news. It wasn't until the sun rose and they saw Jesus and they heard His word that they were able to see hope and promise again. What will change for John is when finally an elder points him to see Jesus. Now, in the book of Revelation, John is guided through his many visions, mostly by angels. But there are two times when it says an elder pointed John to see something different. Those two times happen when John's eyes are cast down and he is unable to see the righteous glory of God in Christ Jesus being revealed. And so the elder, the one who has himself made it through this time of tribulation, he's made it through these days of suffering, and he is now safe in the embrace of the peace of God. And he knows not just the short field of view where you see only the despair, but he has now gone over the arc of time, and he is now embracing the glories of the kingdom of God. It takes one, at times, who has gone through this experience of suffering to hope, to promise, to be able to guide and point someone else to be able to see it as well. And it's the elder that then says to John, "Weep no more. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." It's an echo for me from John chapter 1, when John the Baptist points people, says to Jesus, about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Again, it takes an elder to point John to say, "Behold, you don't need to weep anymore, because there is one who's worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. The glorious plan of God's revelation for His people has been revealed." And the rest of the book of Revelation is about how each of these seals is broken and the glorious plan of God is revealed. The book of Revelation finishes with the last seal being opened and the city of God being revealed, with the light of God illuminating the city so that there's no more need for sun or moon or stars in the sky. Because as that seventh seal is broken and the fullness of God's plan is shown, this city of God is open and welcoming to all nations. This promise that we don't need to weep anymore is because the victorious Lamb of God who once was slain now stands upon the throne. In our victorious lamb stained glass, that lamb is carrying a banner. His banner over me is love. And that banner has not been dropped through all the battle our Savior has gone through. The banner of love has waved through the cross, through the tomb, and in the resurrection. It has never yet been dropped into the muck of our sin and been destroyed. It rises above it all, and it waves yet still true. The Lamb is victorious, because the one who was slain has been shown worthy to ransom us from our sin. We are now members of the kingdom of God, because that Lamb who was slain now stands upon His throne. He is victorious. So we can sing a new song, because that one who is worthy, He is now between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. And John says, I saw the Lamb standing as though it had been slain. Now this piece of art is not in our church. It's the Ghent altarpiece, painted in the 15th century. It's got several different panels to us, but the main panel is this image of Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb who was slain, the blood of that spear is now poured into the chalice, is standing upon the altar, and you've got the four living creatures and the 24 elders around it. And then in the front field of view, is I want something to change your field of view of vision. From just what John was seeing at the beginning of the despair and expecting more of the same, and only knowing shame and sorrow, now our front field of view is defined by the waters of baptism. Because you see, as much as we have died to Christ in the waters of baptism, we have risen with Christ in the promise of His resurrection. It is through your baptism, and through the very baptism that these youth are affirming in their confirmation, that we now see the long view of history bending towards the mercy of God being revealed. And now if we only knew the scroll closed and sealed, and we only knew the judgment of God, we would know more division. We would know more separation and more violence. But the scroll has been opened. Christ has been revealed, and the glorious plan of God for the salvation of all the nations has been brought forward. And so the Lamb has ransomed people from God, from every tribe, from every language, from every people and nation. They are gathered around this throne. The view of Revelation chapter 5 is as the Lamb of God who is worthy to receive the scroll is revealed for the nations, it is a glorious welcoming moment. No longer are we defined by a closed scroll and separated communities, but now we are defined by the glory of God revealed and all nations welcomed. And so we are a kingdom of priests bringing the promises of God to all people. And we rejoice in the promise that the Lamb who was slain is worthy to receive our power, our wealth, our wisdom, our might, our honor, our glory, and blessing. I want you to join always in this promise, to know that even in moments when your field of view is short and you only see the valley of the shadow of death, your shepherd will be with you. He will lead and guide you, so that you will have the promise of the long view, the promise of the view of the resurrection. And for each of you confirmants, today is a glorious day when we are witnessing the promise that Christ is our resurrection. This view is not always so clear in this world. There will be times with John you will weep, and you will not easily see in heaven, on earth, or under the earth the promise that God has made to you. In those moments, I want you to have faith that the promise you do not see is yet still true. Hold it in faith. Hold it in view of your baptism. May this all for you be a peace, a joy, which surpasses all understanding, that keeps and guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and to the glorious day. Amen.